Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, it's been quite a week of weather, right? A lot of rain. A lot of rain. Not enough? You want more? It's snowing in Denver, so you watch the football game, you'll see snow against the Rams. That ought to be interesting. Those L.A. boys in the snow. Watch how that works. They'll probably win. Okay, whatever. Oh, this is on tape. Uh-oh. All right. Well, Pastor Rick and Robin are in Prescott, right? Is it Prescott? Prescott. American Lutheran. And he's preaching there, and Pastor Robin's speaking as well, so our prayers are with them. And wherever we go, we want to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, right? And we're going to get into that because the theme for the day is the victorious church. And we'll explain that a little bit here. Because these are some great words. I have been on fire. I couldn't wait to preach. I thought, oh, I wanted to have church on Thursday night. So if you all were free, we could have had church then. I was just going, I can't wait till Sunday morning. I cannot wait with this message. Let's go. Come on. But I had to wait. And then, of course, last night, couldn't sleep last night. Like, all the nights, got to preach tomorrow. Come on. Go to sleep. Counting sheet doesn't really work. They say it does, but it doesn't. All right. Now that... that won't make me sleep, keep depressed. Anyway, all right, let's move on. So, we're going to look at this because there's a lot of stuff in just these few verses. Matthew 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Obviously, Jesus knows who he is, but he wanted to find out what other people were saying about him. And they said, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. You go, what? These are all in the past. What are we doing? Well, these people lived in the past. Everything they did was focused on the past. And so they heard this mighty teacher and prophet, Jesus. They said, well, maybe he's resurrected John the Baptist, or Elijah come back, or Jeremiah. Like, what? That's not theologically correct, is it? But that's what they thought. And there were some superstitions going around, and Jesus is not a superstition, although some athletes seem to think that wearing their crosses and everything else is part of their bling and think that if they do this a million times that God will bless them and give them victory. That's not why we wear the cross, is it? It's not a superstition. He is not at all a superstition. He's Savior of the world. He's our precious Savior, our Lord. He is God. He's man. He's everything. He's everything to us, right? He is everything. So Jesus was just asking them to think about who or what are the different ideas that people have of who Jesus truly is. And then he points it to them. He says, okay, but you, who do you say that I am? This could be a really interesting discussion here. Because the disciples, do they get questions right a lot of times when Jesus asks them pointed questions about him or faith or anything like that? No, they didn't. A lot of times they failed. The night before Jesus was crucified, remember Philip said, well, Lord, if you just show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied. Then we'll be happy. In other words, you're okay, but we'd really rather see the Father. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because we're three in one, all one, right? And it's like, oh. So I'm wondering if the rest are holding their breath, say, oh, we better get this right. Have you ever been called in front of the whole class to answer a question, especially if you've been happy? Sleep or daydreaming, and they go, now, Daniel, what do you think about that? Well, that's an interesting question. What do you think, teacher? Right? Or something like that we try to throw off. But here it is. And Peter becomes a spokesman, and he gets it right. Yes, Peter, you get it right this time. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right on, Peter. Yes, you got it right. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So he got it right. Jesus is not just another teacher. He's not just another way, another religious leader. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the only Savior of the world. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Doesn't say you have to be Lutheran to be saved. Doesn't say you have to be a Presbyterian to be saved. But it does say you have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Period. No more, no more added to that than Jesus Christ. When he died, what did he say? Well, it's almost done. It's almost completed. He said, it is finished. the payment of our sins has been done. It's paid in full, which is a great good news. Hallelujah is right, because all our sins, past, present, and future, have been washed away. They've been taken away. And that's the good news, right? It's good news of Jesus. And Jesus is God and man together, right? And one of Pastor Rick's favorite sections of Scripture, I was going to steal it from him, is in Colossians. Because Paul does, but also Pastor Rick talked a lot about Christology, who is Christ. If you get that right, you're on the right path, right? If you get that wrong, doesn't matter what else you teach in the church, is all going to be messed up. So it's all about Jesus. So it says in Colossians that He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things are created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He's the glue that holds it all together, the whole universe. It's all under His authority, His power. He keeps it all together. Not only that, and He is the head of the body, the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus, right? He's the head of the church. We'll get to that a little bit too. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, that is Jesus, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So that's who Jesus is. And it says there He is the firstborn, He is the head of the church. And we're going to talk about that. First of all, we want to talk about who Jesus is and get that straight. He's the Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead. He ascended on high in heaven 40 days later. And now the Bible says that He is everywhere. Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He is where there's all glory and all power. And so when we sing to Jesus, we're singing to a mighty King who fills heaven full of glory, who radiates and reflects the Father's love. And those who have gone to heaven come back and say, "It's inexpressible how incredible, how awesome, how wonderful heaven is. That all the angels are worshiping constantly and not bored. No one's going one way out of this worship service because it gets greater and more grander and more sublime. The more they worship, the more they have reason to worship, the more they have reason to give thanks and praise, and they give honor and praise to the one who was crucified and died and rose again and paid for the sins of the whole world." And it goes on and on nonstop, and it is not boring at all. And everybody who's gone to heaven come back says the love is indescribable, the peace, the joy, the holiness, the perfection. It's just overwhelming, the joy. We can't take it in. That's why that song says, "I can only imagine what heaven's going to be like. I can only imagine." So that's where Jesus is, as well as in our hearts. And that's the one we proclaim and we give honor and glory, because He is the victor, right? He's the champion. He overcame sin. He overcame the devil. He overcame death. Thanks be to God, the Bible says, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are on the winning side. Does it feel like it? Not always. It doesn't feel like it, but it's true. Sometimes it feels like it. Sometimes it doesn't. But our feelings don't matter. Who won? It's already been decided. So we know who to follow. Follow the leader. Follow the winner. You want to follow a winner? People talk about giving up on their teams in football. And I want a winner. Now, you're not giving up. Some have. And sometimes people give up on the church because they think, "Oh, what a loser. It's not going anywhere." Well, not so fast, my friends, because we're going to talk about that. But anyway, Jesus, getting back to the Scripture, says, "I tell you, Peter, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So, Simon Bar-Jonah gets a new name. I got a client who's gotten out of trouble, gotten out of the behavioral health hospital, and wants to legally change his name to have a new name, a new life, to start all over again, which is pretty cool. He's going to start all over. And we pray that he will continue on that path. Just changing his name won't do it, though. It has to be a change of heart. Change us on the inside, we sing, right? Change us on the inside, right? That's where it all happens. And who changes us? Can I change myself? Can I change you? Can you change me? You may like to change me. And it's a God thing. It's an inside job that only Jesus, only the Holy Spirit, only our great triune God can change us and change like Alex and change so many of you, Annette and others. Danny, where you've seen the change. Mary, you've seen the change. We see the change. That's what it's all about. Transformation. It's so cool. And it's only Jesus who does that. Not religion. Going to church all your life, and that won't change you. That won't change. No. It's like somebody going into a garage and thinking, well, if I just sit in this garage long enough, I'll turn into a car. Obviously, it's ridiculous. It's stupid. Or if I go to a gymnasium, I'll be a great NBA star. No, that doesn't work that way. You are who you are. And in this world today, everybody's saying, you be you. You just be who you are. No judgment here. Just do anything you want. You be you. Everything's about that. Just be you. Well, in a sense, but we're to be who we are in Christ. There's two words we need to add to that. Not just be, well, this is the way I am. Take it or leave it. It's being a follower of Jesus Christ and living for Him because He's done so much. So anyway, because of the change coming up, Jesus changes Peter's name to Peter, Petros. It's Greek and it means little rock. Not a big rock like Little Rock, Arkansas. It's like little rock. Because there's a play on words here that you don't see in the English. But Jesus says, you are Peter, little rock, and upon this big rock I will build my church. Now a lot of people think that Jesus is promising that Peter's going to be the first pope and he's the head of the church. Well, later on, James was actually the leader. It wasn't Peter. But what he's saying is, you little rock, you're rocky, little rocky right here, and upon what you just said, your confession of faith, I will build my church. I will build it on the confession of faith of Jesus Christ, the big rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, the rock of the teaching that Jesus is Lord, not upon a human being. It's not upon a human being. It's based on the teaching and the belief that Jesus is Christ, that He is the rock of ages. There is no rock like Him. Like our, there is no God like our God. There is no Savior like our Savior. It's only Him. So He's the rock. When we build our lives on the rock, and when the storms of life come, if we're not building our lives on the rock, we're building on sinking sand, it's all trouble. It's big trouble when storms hit. And will they hit? Oh, they hit, all of us, right? Man, not again, not this, not now. But they happen, right? Things happen in our lives. And cancer happens, and heart attacks happen. But who's with us through all that? Jesus, right. And He is the rock. There's no rock, there's no God like our God. So Jesus is saying, you're Peter, and upon this rock of your testimony, your confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I had the wrong picture about this. If you think about it, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I was thinking that this is talking about the fact that that hell and the demons are on the offensive, on the attack, and they are. That's a different slant on it. That the evil's attacking the church, And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, actually, the gates are not an offensive weapon, right? What are they? They're to protect. If they stand there. So really, the church is supposed to be on the offensive, going out into the world, and as they go out, Jesus promises the gates that are there will not prevail. We can jump over those gates in Jesus' name and hop over that evil, and those gates can't stop us. So gates are there to stop somebody who's moving. It's not a church that's not moving, paralyzed, isolated, sitting, oh, I hope the devil doesn't get us. It's a church moving forward and going ahead. And as they go forward to win people for Christ and they get attacked by Satan, the gates that are there will not prevail. We can jump over those gates, not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and the angels, because God will be with the church, because the church is victorious and wins. We're on the winning side. But it doesn't feel that way. And Pastor Rick said, preach boldly. Well, I'm going to preach boldly because for so long, people think, oh, we're on the losing side of it. We're on the winning side. But we don't act like it sometimes. I don't act like it sometimes. We have the victory. And it's good to be a winner. Phoenix, we don't have a lot of winners in our sports teams. But we got one right here. And then Jesus Christ, right? He is the victorious one. He is the champion. He won it all for us, and He rescued us. And He deserves the honor and the praise and glory without end forever and ever and ever and ever. Right? Right? Hello? Amen. Thank you. All right. So, having said that, we need to ask ourselves, what is the church? Who is the church? Well, who is the church? It's all of us, right? there was a church sign that had the name of it, and it had church, the word church, but it had two letters missing. It had CH and it had CH. In the middle, there was two letters missing. And the pastor pointed us out to the people. He says, let's see now. What's missing on those letters there of the church sign? You are. He says, yeah, that's right. And he was talking to the people that had been at church for a while, and he says, you know what's going on in the church? What's missing? You are. You're missing. Your place in the body of Christ. Because we all serve as part of the body. And if part of the body's not there, we're going to be in trouble. We don't have an arm. We don't have a leg. And we're missing that part of the body. We say, who needs it? Yeah, we'll be all right. No, we hurt. We suffer when part of the body's not here, right? Yes. So we're all given spiritual gifts to be used by God for His glory in the church. And when the church is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God and God's presence and moves forward to reach people for Christ, what does he say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the guarantee. He guarantees it. The church is on the winning side. I remember a professor, really good professor. And by the way, my seminary I went to and Pastor Rick, so opposite. It's kind of neat, though, in a way we can share. Where Pastor Rick went to this, call that a seminar? My goodness sakes, so liberal. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I would have lasted maybe one day, because I was raised in a very, very conservative Lutheran Missouri Synod church right next to the seminary, and knew the professors of the seminary there, and they taught us the Word of God. Boom, 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 boom. The problem is, they added to it, and they had a lot of rigid rules on top of it. That's where that seminary went wrong, was throwing out the Holy Spirit and the miraculous and signs and wonders and all that. But they gave us the Word of God, and that was good. And it was really important. And so the Word of God was preached, and I can build my life on the Word of God and only the Word of God, right? That's the only thing we build it on. But it says here, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Well, if we have keys, it's kind of important, and I'm trying to learn with these new cars nowadays, what do you do if this goes off? It doesn't work anymore. I got a backup, but then I thought, well, what? And one time both of mine weren't working. I go, great. It used to be the old days, you get a spare key, and I'm trying to figure out with a key fob how that works. So if you know, let me know how it all works. Because sometimes it's like, what if I can't start my car? So you're going to show me right now? Later, okay. See you later, thank you. Well, that's quick. What a response. I will talk to you right after church. But anyway, we have keys to the kingdom. God has given the church keys to the kingdom. And so here they are. And sometimes Cindy will say, Cindy, do you have your key? Because we need to get back there. And if we don't have a keys, it's a problem. So keys are important to open and close the lock and unlock. In the same way, God has given us, the church, the powers of the keys of heaven to unlock heaven for people, unlock the gates of heaven for people and their families, to bring them in, and to close it up when people are obstinate and refuse to repent and want to do it their own way and want to change the church into their own ways. No. We're locking this, buddy. We're locking these doors. We're not going that way. So we have the authority and the command to unlock and lock. Does that make sense? The office of the keys of the church, we're given that. Not one person, but the church in general. But anyway, this professor at the seminary I was talking about, he said this. He says, you know, you can have a little church in the middle of nowhere and maybe just a handful of people. Just a handful of people. And he says, you know what's going on in heaven? There are angels participating in that little worship service. All of heaven and earth are together. Heaven and earth and the angels. And they're watching over that little church and protecting that little church. And the world goes, oh, the world goes, what's with that little church? That's not a big mega church. That's not important. If they're preaching God's word and they're in there in Jesus' name, who's there? Jesus in that little church. He's not just, well, I just go to the fancy ones and the mega churches and you got to have this, you got to have, then maybe I'll show up. Jesus shows up when we call upon his name, right? He's there. But our senses will say, well, that's a losing church. They're losing. They're not going to win. And the promise is not just to one denomination or one little church building. It's what's called the church universal. Or we say it in the creed, the Holy Christian Church. When we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, And we talk about the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. But what is the communion of saints, the Holy Christian Church? It's every believer in Christ. Not the unbelievers are not part of the Holy Christian Church. So not everybody comes to the church as part of the Holy Christian Church. Got it? The Holy Christian Church are true believers wherever they are, all over the world. And the Holy Christian Church will not lose. It will win. It will win in the end. And Jesus will come back for His church. And what it says that Jesus is purifying the church so that it'll have be without spot and wrinkle or blemish when Jesus comes for His church. And what a day that will be when the Holy Christian Church and the Lord Jesus Christ come together. Wow, that's going to be some party, right? And we will celebrate the victor who conquered Satan. My daughter used to say, says, Dad, I heard a saying in Lutheran school years ago. He says, if the devil tries to remind me of my past, I'll remind him of his future. Guess what? This is where you're going. How about that? You know, because we're on the winning side, right? Now, it's been really neat because we had that class a couple weeks ago where Pastor Robin talked about what we'd like to see the church to be, right? And we had that whiteboard. All those ideas are still out there, and that was great. It was really awesome. And we did a Bible class last Sunday, and what does God say the church to be? And we're continuing it today. And what I used to do back before my life totally changed, back in 2005, when I lived in the suburbs and everything was just fine and dandy, and I was married, kids, and everything else, and doing a lot of stuff for the church. I was a full-time pastor, the head pastor. Think, wow, what happened? A long time ago. But anyway, we were called as a group of pastors in the Missouri Synod to visit other churches that were reaching out to people for Christ in a very effective way. And they would send us, a group of five of us, all over the country. It was really neat. We would come there on a Thursday. We would leave after church on Sunday and just see how are they reaching people for Christ. It was really cool. And so then later we were taught to lead workshops in different churches and our own churches to give the church a sense of vision and purpose. So we come together and we first of all talk about not what we want the church to be, but what does God want? He's the boss. He's the CEO. You can have a corporation or a business be in business for so long they forget why they're in business to begin with, right? Have you been part of a company where they were built on customer service and then all of a sudden they forget that and like, well, why are we here? Why are we in business? And that's the number one question a consultant should ask in a business. Why are we here? What is our purpose? What is our mission, right? What's our purpose? But when we're talking about the church, we should start off with what does God say the church should be? Because everybody has an eye, I think we should do this and I should think we should do that. So we start, and we have the foundation here in our church. It's built on what book? The Bible. Everything we say, everything we teach, everything we do is based on the Word of God. So what we did last Sunday, we're going to do again today, is we looked at what the Bible says the church should be. What does it start with? Worship. Is that an option? Say, yeah, we're not going to do worship today. We're just going to sing whatever song you feel like singing. Just happy songs. Make you feel happy. Happy, happy, happy. Okay. And a little club, and we're going to have coffee, donuts, and goodbye. That's all we're going to do today. We're not going to have Bible study. We're not going to have communion. We're not going to have worship. How would that go over? I hope not. I hope you would say, okay, fine, Pastor, whatever. That's not it. The Bible says we're called to worship, right? Number one, worship. And then stop there. We're called to be part of the body of Christ. Some people say, well, Pastor, I can just worship out in the golf course. Oh, really? I hear God's name when I used to golf on the golf course. It wasn't in a positive light. You know, it was not spiritual worship. It doesn't happen. We have to come together. It's like charcoal in a fire. If you take a piece of charcoal, it's on fire, red hot, pull it away from the rest of the charcoal, what happens to that piece of charcoal? It goes out. It's going to happen to us. If we pull away from God's people and we isolate ourselves, we see it over and over again. People lose that faith. We've got to stay on fire for Jesus as we come together and as you encourage me and Isaac. We're all part of the body of Christ. So that's the next step, worship, but then it's being part of a body of Christ. But do we stay there? Just go to church and that's it? No. If somebody's still in diapers and they're 30 years old, we got a problem, right? There's something really wrong there. But we got spiritual babies that are still infants, that are still have not progressed to be able to run and to go forward as an adult. They're very immature. And every church has those. So we have to be built on God's Word. We have to be growing. And the Bible says, Peter talks about hungering for the Word of God like a baby does for milk. Just yearning and thirsting and hungering for more of God's Word and more of Jesus. We want more. We want more. And then appetite. And we sing about, give us a hunger, Lord. Give us a hunger for your word, right? So we have more and more hunger for God's word. And so we get built up. And now we're being more mature. So basically, it's worship. It's being a member of the body of Christ and being mature. And then it doesn't stop there. We're all given spiritual gifts. Are we supposed to just sit back and watch Pastor Rick and Robin do it all? Okay, let's go. Let's get out there. Yay. No, we're all ministers. The pastors are only there to equip all of us for ministry. That's a big difference. A lot of churches don't get it. It's like they're spectators and everybody else is going to watch as a pastor. Somebody said it's like a football game on a Sunday where you've got 22 people out on the field in desperate need for rest, and you've got about 42,000 people desperately need exercise. And it's like, we're all called to get in the game. There's no spectators in the church. We're all called to be in ministry and find our spiritual gifts. We have the inventories out there and our talents and use them for ourselves. We use our time, talents, and treasures for Him, for the kingdom, right? For the advancing of the kingdom that will not lose. We're on the winning side. So invest in a winning product, the Church of Jesus Christ. Because we have promised that they'll have heavenly investments, heavenly rewards. Not that we earn them, but just as we give to the Lord, He gives back to us over and over and over on this side of heaven and beyond. Thanks be to God, right? So we call it, one of the pastors calls it this, worship is magnification. First base, if you do like an outline of a ball diamond, first base is membership, being a member of God's body of the church. Second base is maturity, growing in the faith, being mature. Third base is ministry. We're all called to be part of the body of Christ and serve Him with our gifts and talents. And then coming back down would be multiplication. We get home when we lead other people to Christ. We're all called to witness to other people, not just a few people. We're all called to go out into the world and reach the love of reach people with the love of Christ. We have it right here. Beautiful statement. Love. Let's read it together. Our mission: love all people to Christ, Jesus followers, and join the ever-changing adventure. That's why we're here, right? If we stop doing that, what do we have a purpose for? So are we loving all people to Christ? Are we Jesus followers? And enjoying the ever-changing, what does it change, right? Ever-changing adventure of Jesus. Is it an adventure? Is it exciting? Yeah, it should be. Oh, yeah. But again, the church is on the winning side, right? Okay, so as we look and then we pray about, we've been doing a lot of praying about the church. We found out after the rain we had a couple weeks ago, we got a problem with the roof, we got tiles coming down, we need a new roof, about $5,000, like, whoops. And so who do we turn to? To God and you. Hopefully you can help. It'd be nice if somebody can help us out. And we are all called to give to the Lord and He gives back. But ultimately we say, God, You're the provider. You will take care of this. Hudson Taylor started an orphanage with $0, totally on faith. And it was amazing how God always provided just the last, just the nick of time He would provide for that orphanage. Well, God is calling us to look to Him, to watch over our church, to watch over Pastor Rick and Robin as Pastor Rick is preaching right now in that church in American Lutheran, as we have our partners all over the valley that help us out, and we need those partners. We are in partnership for one reason. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. You remember the old hymn years ago, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. They outlawed that for a while. Oh, that's too militaristic. Well, the church is at war with the world, right? We are in a battle, and we have to put on the armor of God, and we need to go forward because those gates of hell will not prevail against the church. They will not prevail. And the inmates, we tell them all the time, right, Steele and Sandy, you're on the winning side. And bring other people with you to heaven. Don't come by yourself, you know. Don't come empty-handed. But in the meantime, we are called to be the church. We're called to be what God called us to be. What an exciting time. Is it rough? Is it tough? Is it a battle? You betcha. But, hey, what an exciting time it is to be a believer in Jesus. And watch what God's going to do. Because only God can do the impossible, right? And God will make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. He has an interesting way of creating new roads. The other day I was on a road. They're finally, back when I lived in Ahwatukee, we had a pastor there. They talked about someday having this interstate to go all the way around. And we said back then, oh, it'd be so nice to have that. Well, they're actually building it now. It's actually happening. I went, wow, there's a new road here. Didn't know about it. In the same way, God builds roads. And he says, I'm building this, making a way in the desert. Do you not perceive it? Forgetting the old things and looking to the new, that God is building a new way. And it's exciting what God's going to do. So whether it be you going to a jail service or wherever it might be God's calling you out of your comfort zone, just remember, who are we following? Jesus Christ, who is the Christ, the chosen one, the Son of the living God. And we're part of His body, the church. And since He won, we will win as long as we connect and stay connected to Jesus, right? And to that end, all God's people said, Amen, Amen, Amen.